All right. Well, all right. Good morning, everyone. This is Commissioner Kalk. It's October 9th, 2013. We're meeting for the administrative portion of our meeting at approximately 11:40. I don't have any opening comments, but I would open it up for my colleagues.
No opening comments from me either.
Jules?
Nope.
Okay, we have two items on consent. I would move passage of consent.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Since none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, motion is approved.
All right, thank you, Daryl. Discussion matters, transfer of siting certificates, procedures on request for hearing Hess. Mr. Fawn.
Okay, I provided you with a few pieces of paper this morning. The top piece of paper is the request for the hearing from Laurel Lawrence and her reasons for requesting a hearing. The second piece of paper is the statute concerning transfer certificates, notice of opportunity for hearing, and then if a person should request a hearing, that good cause has been shown. They have to show good cause for the hearing. And the third piece of paper is the notice of opportunity for hearing. And the question for the commission this morning is, if you want to, if you believe good cause has been shown for the hearing, and we should staff then prepare a notice of hearing.
Let me just add a little background, Pat. Usually, staff would give us a recommendation, not just say, "Here's an email. What do you guys think?" I mean, I would like to see some staff review, some legal thoughts on it, because my off-the-cuff is if somebody wants a hearing, why wouldn't you give it to them? That's just off-the-cuff. But I don't recall this discussion coming up before. If somebody wanted a hearing, we usually just gave it to them.
That's what I always remember, too, is that if somebody requests a hearing, the commission would usually give it to them.
We don't know what they're going to say.
If they have an interest in the proceeding at all. And I called back and talked to to Laurel Lawrence, and I went over the notice of opportunity for hearing with her and said, these are the issues that are in the notice. And I said, do you have something to say about the issues that are in the notice? And she said she does have something to say about the public interest issue. So in my mind, even though she doesn't say a lot in the email, I think that the commission would probably grant the request for a hearing.
Okay. Well, what's interesting, this is not if it's just a transfer, the pipeline's in the ground and they're just transferring who owns it. So it's, the other side of the coin is pretty straightforward. I don't know what.
Well, and if you don't, so the action would be that we wouldn't allow the transfer certificate.
We just hold a hearing first.
So we'd have the hearing, but so the hearing just basically says that the company will comply by all our rules, you know, and if we felt that they weren't going to apply, the old company or the one that currently holds their certificate would continue to have it. Nothing else would change.
Correct. Other than so, potentially, I guess, when I'm looking at legal for this, but potentially, could the commission, make a condition on the transfer?
Like what?
What condition?
You know, we don't know what her concerns are, but if we hear a concern that we think we can address, could we condition the transfer, the order on the transfer?
Well, if we're not going to. If when we put an order out saying comments request for hearing received by September 12th, we should have had this discussion before we even sent this out, if it's things like transfers don't require hearings. We don't know what she's going to say. So I don't know. My thought would be, what's the downside to have a hearing? Time. You go have the hearing, she says her piece, we make a decision, off we go.
Hearing has to be in the county.
Yeah.
We go back to the county.
Would she agree to come to an informal? Of course, then it's not a formal hearing and it's not record testimony.
She's requested the hearing based on our notice.
Okay.
I'd say.
Well, I guess I still, unless persuaded otherwise from legal or somebody, why would just go hold the hearing as quick as we can and move on? That's just me, though. I don't know how you'd not do a hearing if you've got somebody that requests it.
Well, the law says good cause has been and good cause has been shown. I think in my mind, there's that's there for a reason, so we aren't holding hearings, you know, a bunch of times and holding things up for companies when, you know, without good cause.
So you think
good cause? I don't know that she's shown good cause for having concerns about this certificate transfer. What are her concerns about Hess Corporation transferring their certificate number 18 to Hess Tioga?
Potentially, like what she says here is our entire life could be affected by corporate actions. So I'm thinking, without hearing her testimony, I'm thinking, does she have a concern about the new company, the subsidiary that might be taking over this certificate?
Well, and she could outline those, though. And, you know, in outlining her good cause, she could share that with us now, and then we would know that.
Seemed like you could just ask her. The commission come back and say, what is your issue?
Specifically. Like, not, this is very vague.
Yeah.
So you'd like something more in writing from her?
Well, what's the standard? I mean, I don't like winging stuff, but what's the standard we usually hold people to when they ask for a formal hearing? Did he usually just send us an email? Because I'm not used to an email showing up requesting a formal hearing. I'm used to something showing up with a piece of paper and suddenly a signature on it. I mean, Ryan could probably back me up one way or wrong or right or different. Do we know that this is actually from Lawrence? I mean, an attorney could probably have a field day with the email piece. Just a question for legal, maybe.
Sure, I guess there would be a question of verifying who it comes from. I don't know if she spoke with Scott, but Pat has spoken with her, though, also in person.
You don't see that as a concern?
It just says that the they just need to, where was it here? They need to submit their request for a hearing. They need to demonstrate good cause. It's not that writing is good enough. It looks like they need to submit writing and good cause. Of course, the question is what's good cause, and that being your guys' prudential decision. But
so what have we done in the past for the good cause? Like I said, I don't recall ever even having this question. Somebody wants it formal, we just do it.
It's been a long time since we've had to address this question.
Okay.
We've had a few rate increases where somebody asked for a hearing or somebody wanted to intervene. Even with intervention, you have to show good cause for intervention. And so, I mean,
but that's a decision we usually leave to the judge on intervention. We let the judge make the decision on interveners, so we're not tied to that one way or the other.
I think in the past, the commission has also made the decision. And I think that for example, on a rate case, if the person was a customer of the company and had a concern about rates, that was just cause for intervention. We've allowed intervention based on just that.
Right.
So it's pretty low threshold, I would say, for allowing intervention. Perhaps for allowing or requiring a note or a hearing now, the threshold might be pretty low.
Well, and I think it's appropriate to have a fairly low threshold for public involvement. And I don't want to create a bunch of hoops at the same time. I think the public needs to know what they're getting involved in and express why. You know, so does she, what is her concern with this matter, transferring of these certificates from company A to company B? What about that is a concern to her? I don't think what she's outlined here is enough to require a hearing. And I do think that, you know, we should have some sort of standards because we could tie ourselves up in the companies and in a lot of hearings on matters when people just say they want to have a hearing. We're happy to have hearings, and there should be a fairly low threshold for having them when some just cause has been shown, in my opinion.
Did in your telephone discussion, did she indicate that there's some oral agreement or something that she has with the existing permit holder, and she's afraid that the new company, new subsidiary won't uphold that, or what it is that the corporation is going to have this big impact?
She did not indicate that. She talked about the fact that she lives between the Tioga plant and the rail loading facility, and she made reference to the event that occurred in Canada with the rail cars derailing. So I think it's there may be a safety concern, but in her comments in the email, it doesn't even reference a safety concern here.
You know, I have a thought here, Patrick, and let me bounce this by Randy and Julie. In the past, the commission has sent out just ALJs on our behalf for cases that are not as significant. We're not going to send an ALJ out to do a case on a 180-mile pipeline. But in cases like the one we were at yesterday, in the past, we've just sent out an ALJ. The ALJ will conduct the hearing. They'll do a recommendation, give it to us. This might be one that's prime. If Pat sends back an email to her and says, hey, the commission talked about it today, we're certainly open to it, but we need a little more information. We'd like to know exactly where you live at. We'd like you to outline what your specific concerns are. She comes back and has something that's worthwhile. Then this is when we kick to an ALJ, and the ALJ goes up there, does the hearing, comes back with the recommendation to us. It cuts down everybody's cost, cuts down planning expediency from three commissioners trying to schedule plus everybody else.
Well, and Pat and I did talk, this wouldn't be one that we'd have to have on site in Tioga, correct?
Oh, it would be.
Oh, it would be?
It appears it would be.
Yeah, the law reads like this would be then kicked into a formal hearing where it needs to be on site.
Mm.
But we can have an ALJ do a formal hearing for us. The question would be that what we may want to do is give her a quick time frame for her response for the email, and then if we need a quick special meeting to schedule something, we can. But that's just a thought that we could maybe find that happy ground somewhere in there.
I think that seems like a reasonable alternative.
Okay. Jules?
Yeah, I'm fine with that, but I do want to see what her rationale is for even a hearing with an ALJ. You know, the cause.
Right. That's my, what I'm hearing is that we'll ask her to provide more specific idea of what her concerns are.
And then who pays for those? Is that a PSC expense then?
We have an application fee in this, okay. In this case. However, we may have to increase the application fee. We only asked for $5,000. We may have to increase that because if we travel in our usual manner and
wouldn't have to
though if all three commissioners aren't going.
Right. So we could keep the cost down.
And the companies have always been very, very agreeable to additional filing fees if there's cause. We're not talking about. I mean, $5,000 would come pretty close for an ALJ going up there and doing a hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So what kind of deadline? We don't want to belabor this too long because they want to transfer this thing. They want a decision, I guess, on this pretty soon.
Right. Give her a couple of weeks to respond with something.
Or maybe a week.
Okay.
So we could have it on our next agenda.
Okay.
I would think a week is plenty of time. I mean, she doesn't have to completely make her case here and persuade the world. She needs to show that
more
there's some compelling reason that this could impact her.
That she's looked at the two companies and that there's some concern between the two and the transferring of the certificate.
And when you ask her that, at this point this is more of a question than a suggestion, but can we kind of lay out what this transfer entails and that the new holders would have to live up to the obligations of the old holders, and it doesn't really change the volume of business being done there, or that it is just a transfer of ownership, but they have the same obligations. Maybe if she understands that, it solves the whole problem.
But we could increase obligations, though. Like if nobody's reviewed the current emergency response plan, but we would certainly review the emergency response plan during the transfer. So there's some things that we would normally. I mean, we will have an informal on this, if nothing else. I mean, it's not that this is just not going to be a decision. It'll at least be an informal. So those kind of questions, whether we ask them here or there, we could incorporate those in a decision. So this is our chance to look at the yeah. project, and if it's settling occurring, we'll ask those kind, the same kind of questions we asked with the ones that are already in the ground. Okay, so today is Wednesday. Can you give or tell next Wednesday?
Sure.
And then we could, if depending what it is, if you could email that response out to everybody, and then we could, if there's a compelling case, maybe we could do a quick special meeting to get it going. I don't know. How quick do you sense that there's a decision needed on this?
I really don't have a sense for that.
Okay.
Somebody is here that could help us.
Well, I'm sure the answer is sooner than later. Okay, fair enough. Let's go with that. Julie, anything else, Randy?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. Mr. Fawn, MDU Gas, procedure and timing. Is this the rate case?
Yes, it is.
All right, so.
We talked to advocacy staff and asked if they had a schedule in mind for how this case would proceed.
Okay.
And I can give you some time frame here on what they are thinking, and that is that if they're talking to the company and see if there's any potential for a settlement in it, but if they don't receive some positive indication about that by October 18th, they're going to continue on and issue an RFP for a consultant and prepare testimony.
Okay.
The staff believes that their testimony would be filed sometime around February 14th. And
what date?
February 14th. Okay. MDU would like to have until, I guess it would be March, first part of March, to file their rebuttal.
Pat, I thought there was an email from Dan Kuntz today that said they wanted a month.
A month?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, MDU wanted an extra week for rebuttal, but I saw Dan Kuntz's email at break, and he's suggesting that the interveners, if there are any, should file testimony before staff does so that we have a chance to respond to their. And so he's suggesting that for scheduling purposes, have the interveners file their testimony a month before staff does, so that'd be January 14th, I guess. If that's agreeable to the commission, or
well, let me just play devil's advocate here right off the bat, that this rate case was filed in September. 7 months is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Depending on how you do it, it's either March or April. So why in the heck we got to wait till January to get things rolling here for February 14th? I mean, that seems like, I know everybody's busy, but it seems like a little month longer than it needs to be. Why couldn't we have stuff? Well, you convince me why that's not too much time.
I guess since I'm involved in the scheduling, I can address that. You know, the 8-month period that the legislature has provided for in law was written before interim rates were mandated, essentially, and so the companies, they don't really have a lot of concerns, I don't think, if we go beyond 8 months. And in fact, I've gone so far as to say to the companies when they push back a little bit, you know, go ahead, we'll argue it. We'll argue before the commission. We'll argue it in the court of public opinion. But I don't think that we should feel compelled to do hasty work when it comes to rate increases. It's a substantial part of our business, and it's important. And I think the ratepayers of North Dakota deserve something. And so
you're saying that an earlier timeline will not give you the time needed to do this stuff?
You know, part of the problem is, I mean, it's good and bad. There's nothing wrong with process, but if you think about all the processes that are involved in the thing, you know, but it takes practically 60 days for us to get a contract in place and approved and people working. So there's 2 months. Yeah. In this case, we've handicapped ourselves by a month because while we've never done it before, gas cases are fairly simple and straightforward as opposed to electric cases. And we thought there might be some value given the workload that staff has to try and reach a quick settlement. As in 1 month after the filing. I didn't want to go any further because of your exact concerns right here. But going past the 60 days to get a contract in place, you need 3 months, really, to do a good job of they get their work done, they give it to us, we review it, we make changes, we ask them to do additional work in areas that we are concerned about. It takes 3 months. I mean, really.
We have a new employee just starting on Monday, and if she picked up a lot, I'm just trying to figure out a way that if we need consultants, I'm with that. But if we have good people in house that can make the case, we're not hiring consultants for these ADPs for these wind farms, and so do we really need to spend that consultant time where we could dedicate employee X, Sarah, or someone full time, and we have a new employee coming in and start picking up other stuff. These cases tend to just linger.
I'm with you on trying to get it done, but at the same time, we did just approve interim rates. And we made the justification that interim rates allow us to take a very close look at the case and give us the breathing room we need to do a good job with it. I can't, and there hasn't been a gas case for years, so I think we need to take the time to do this one right.
Well, it's your portfolio, so ultimately I'd say I'll follow your lead on that. I just wanted to vent it out because I just don't want February to turn into April, to turn into June, because the last time we had an MDU rate case, it labored on intensely, and I don't want that to happen again.
If I could address that, I mean, there have been cases where they do linger on NSP electric, but as you recall, we were trying to develop a reliability plan, and it did go on and on. In the case of MDU, it's been a while because the last gas case was 2004, but
okay. That
one may have lingered on because we decided to explore depreciation rates after the fact. I just can't remember. Offhand, but sometimes they do linger on. And I'll say this, to be frank, that a lot of times the number of work sessions and commission meetings before an order is written takes quite a bit of time.
Well, absolutely, because we're part of the challenge,
so
too.
I'm going to say that, you know, the commissioners have a fair bit of back-end time generally.
Right, and that's the point if it doesn't even get to me till April to start deliberating on. Yeah. Anyway, but point taken.
Well, you've got, if you go through the rest of the calendar, when would we be looking at for hearings? And, you know, I think that's I'd like to hear that schedule. What would we be looking at? Can we wrap it up by July, August?
The
latest.
Going by the schedule that Mike put together initially, and I'm moving 1 week beyond that.
Okay, so the March rebuttal.
He thought March, so it would be about March 22nd for a hearing somewhere in there.
Okay.
What I'm looking for today is some discussion about public input hearings.
Well, those would have to be before the January time frame, then.
Right.
Or during
now that
January.
Now that I've heard that they want the interveners to file their testimony by January 14th.
Well, I'm off by a month here on something. If we're going to give them until the end of next week to try and reach a settlement, and then it takes 60 days to get contracts in place, then you're to the middle or even past the middle of December, and then we have a couple weeks of Christmas. But even that notwithstanding, if it takes 3 months for the people we hire to do their work, you're not going to be done by the middle of February either. That's the middle of March then, 3 months later.
Yeah, I mean, we're tightening up a little bit, but the reason the hearing is so far out is MDU likes to would like to have 3 weeks a month to prepare rebuttal testimony.
But do you think you can get it done by the middle of February?
Yes. Yes, okay. I think we can. Yep.
Okay, then we can proceed.
I guess I could, I mean, I don't want to derail this thing, but Brian was talking about staff could do it themselves. I think maybe we could, and that's just, that gets to a big resource question. Now, Julie Prescott coming in, she's not going to be doing rate cases and ADPs. It's Sarah and I, and Sarah and I could probably do the rate case ourselves. And maybe we think about that after next week. But there's also what I call cleaning your desk off so you can do high-level work. And it might not sound like high-level work to anyone but Sarah and I, but I like to look out my window sometimes and think about the really big things. And there's, for instance, next week, and it's on the agenda here in a little bit, the Hankinson gas turbine business that started from looking out the window and thinking, my goodness, we need generation in the eastern part of the state. What can we do to make that happen? And so when you do get so involved in rushing to get projects and tasks done, you lose that. And so that's all I'd say to that.
I'm sold, Mike. I just want to make sure we flush out the frank discussion, because it's just making sure we do it the right way. And like what Julie pointed out, making sure we have the right time. And I'm all for bringing in extra people for legal work and for other areas. I just want to make sure we don't back off when we should be just pushing forward. And that's, you guys always work hard over there. That wasn't the point. The question that I have, though, is that we ran through before we started the XL rate case, there was the same discussion about would the commission entertain an abbreviated version. Well, you really can't. I mean, even if there was a settlement agreement that came, you still have public input. You can't just skip that. So what's the value of even looking at that? Because then you still got to hold hearings. You still got to do all the stuff. I mean, if you have a settlement agreement, do you then not need the consultant?
Right.
Okay. But you still have to have the public input hearings, and you still have a commission that doesn't have to accept the settlement agreement.
Right.
So that just changes the dynamics of the contract. Consultant.
There's still work to be done. It's just an attempt to limit the amount of work.
Okay.
Yep.
Fair enough. So you're recommending till October 18th we kind of hang tight, and then back to Randy's point about, okay, even if it comes back, there's no agreement on it, then you proceed with the consultant, and then we just flush it all out, file their testimony and do what they got to do. Okay.
But to Pat's question of the morning is the public input meetings. If we have to have the January 14th, if we go along with the schedule of having the intervenors testimony or input by January 14th, then what do we need to look at for the public input meetings?
Okay, there's another factor to to throw in as far as scheduling public input meetings, and that is that the company needs to have a bill stuffer out to the customers before the hearing, so the customers know what the issues are and what the case is about. And it takes, while they can get that bill stuffer put together quickly, it takes a month for all the customers to receive it because their bills are scattered out for a month. So if they were able to put that out in a week or two, then you'd be looking at the end of October. Let's see, wait a minute now. You'd be looking at, toward the end of October before it gets into the bills. So toward the end of November before you have public input sessions.
So you'd have to do like the first 2 weeks of December, I mean, realistically. Unless you were to push it to, I mean, how close to the intervener stuff can you do it? Could you do it the first couple weeks of January? What's driving that? Why do you have to have those before the intervener?
Well, let's think about that a little bit. You know, an intervener is going to make a decision separate from
anything
from the public
they're not
input sessions.
Be the public input.
But they may want to. An intervener may want to know what the public is saying. You know, what the other comments from the public.
Right.
So, if the intervener is preparing testimony, if you want them to have that opportunity to hear what the public is saying, they would you'd want to put it as close as far ahead of January 14th as you can possibly.
Well, just looking at the January schedule, I mean, quite honestly, the first 2 weeks of January, with the week of the 1st to the 3rd being, I think, you avoid because it's right after New Year's, the next week we're all, at least me, dedicated to go to Mark the Wednesday, the 8th till the 11th. So there's really only, there's not really any time the first part of January prior to the 14th.
First part of December is a possibility.
Yeah, that's, maybe. I mean, I'm just trying to rule out the January. There's really, I don't see any window in January.
Mm-hmm. Why does the intervener case have to be done by middle of March?
January.
Yeah, middle of January, I mean.
That's what MDU is requesting, that interveners file their testimony by January 14th.
So they can have time to do it.
So they can have time to respond.
The staff will have time to...
Yeah, but...
you know, let me ask the other, just now we're jumping all over, but we have an intervention deadline of November 29th. So any agreement before November 29th, it's moot. Unless, if somebody requests to intervene, the settlement agreement, they would have to look through that, so you wouldn't even have a look. You couldn't move on a settlement agreement until after the intervention deadline passed, and if there was an intervener, they'd be party to it. They'd have a look at it. So that whole thing about a settlement kind of falls apart if there's going to be interveners.
Well, if a settlement is filed, the commission would issue a notice of hearing on the settlement.
Yep.
And that would likely be after the intervention deadline.
All right.
So they would have an opportunity to participate in a hearing on a settlement.
What you're trying to hammer out today is we should pick some dates for public input so the company can get it in their bill stuffers.
Yes.
And no matter what we're going to do in December, we'll have those dates set up to do something.
And I was just I just learned that MDU, I was thinking 30 days.
Yeah.
And they would like 45 days instead of 30.
So now we're definitely into December.
Yep.
All right. Yeah.
Well, let's just do it.
Let's just do it, yeah.
And would we do similar to what we did?
Absolutely.
With NSP and each do one someplace?
I would think so. I would think we would do We would do Williston, Dickinson, Minot gets gas from MDU, right? And we'd always have the operations center here in Bismarck, so the three of us would sort out where we could go, and we've always done the...
There's a leg that goes up through Devils, up in the Devil's Lake area, too, up to Grafton.
We didn't do that for the, that's electricity up there too, or just gas?
Yes, yeah, gas.
We did two hearings, right? We offered two dates in each location. We one evening and one day, and then we just did them on interactive video. So, if you look at the week of the 9th and 10th,
okay. We got the late night meeting the 10th.
Yeah,
so we could do that evening. And then morning of the 11th?
Yeah.
How's that look for you guys?
That works.
That works for me. That's about all that works in December. The week before is the telephone stuff.
Well, you could potentially do the 5th and 6th, unless you had a personal conflict.
No, I don't, actually.
So?
I don't care.
10th, 11th, 5th, or 6th? 5th or 6th?
I think that's... cutting it really close to the 40. If you add 45 on to Thanksgiving, if you add 15 days on to Thanksgiving, what do you get?
Well, but why 15 days on to Thanksgiving?
Well, 30 days. Before I was thinking 30 days, and that would put you right around Thanksgiving.
Right.
So, but they're talking about 45 now instead of 30. So I was adding 15 on.
But I would count from next week. Start counting. Why would it take them longer than a week to get a bill stuffer ready? If they can start, then you've got the middle of October till the end of November.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that one.
It takes 45 days to cycle through their bills, what the company's saying.
And you might
get it ready, and you've got to get it printed, and you got to get it, then you run it for the time period so you meet all the cycles of the days.
Do you need a...
Well, Are they talking 45 days from when we move? I mean, if we move today, they've got well more than 45 days to meet either of those December ones.
All right.
Yeah, Scott has to confirm locations. And
then we need to know what those are so we can write the bill stuffer.
Well, if we do the 10th and 11th, that's 12 more than Thanksgiving, so it's pretty darn close.
We're just going to, the next week isn't going to work, so we don't have any choices. We have to make it work. They'll have to work harder. We'll have to work harder. We
for
can
December
do it.
10th and 11th,
almost
Jules?
Two full months.
Which ones do you advocating for, Jules?
The 10th and 11th.
Yep, it's old. Because then the colleges are kind of winding down, so we can maybe use the colleges then. If you use the week before, then they might have classes on the 5th and 6th, but they'll be done by the 10th. Okay, so the 10th at evening and the 11th at noon?
Sounds good.
Okay. And then locations, I'll still lobby for the same four. Somebody here in Bismarck, and then Dickinson, Williston, and Minot. I don't think we need to go to Devil's Lake. That's four locations. And what does the company think about that? That sound fair? Okay.
We'll confirm.
All right, but the 10th and 11th, we'll be doing public input for some type of thing. Okay.
We just need to get the locations to us right away.
Who sets the locations, though? Scott does?
Scott.
Well, yeah, he makes arrangements for the rooms.
Okay.
Is there any reason why, as long as we're doing interactive anyway, why we couldn't have a site at Devil's Lake or somewhere in that far corner? Do we need to be there if we get someone from the school or someone to run the interactive that
the company
those people could ask
some
questions?
No, we could do that, Randy. That's fine.
You know, we've done that in the past. Just, yeah.
I will check a previous case and look at the locations, and I'll get back to you on the location.
But if Randy wants to do one in that Devil's Lake area, I'm not against that. It's just we can't have somebody up there, but the company can have somebody there. They've got MDU service techs that can fire it up, and you could do Lake Region or the telephone company up there could be done.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, Jules, anything else?
Nope.
Randy? Patrick?
Hey.
All right. Scott, you got any questions?
No.
Figure it out? Okay. All right. Only three items today, but it seems like a while. Minnesota intervention by advocacy staff. Commissioner Fedorchak.
We talked in a PUD meeting this week about they filed their comments on this case in Minnesota and the discussion of whether or not they should be there in person. And there's pros and cons. It's uncharted territory in some respects. So we've all probably read the comments that were filed, and the question is that enough, or do we want to take the next step and be present for the hearings and make our case in the hearings and be there to comment on any questions that come up there?
Commissioner, if I could jump in real quickly. Mm-hmm. Another consideration, too, is since Mike did file testimony, all the other parties who have intervened in the matter, as well as NSP and the Minnesota DER people, also have a right to cross-examine him. Mm-hmm. So unless we get a waiver in writing of all 19 other parties waiving the right to cross-examination, there will need to be some sort of appearance on behalf of advocacy staff.
Now, there's not a choice involved here.
Well, we can try and get... They were yesterday. We had a 3 o'clock phone call, and they were very amenable to Mike showing up on Thursday, as well as us only, me coming down as representation from advocacy staff, only showing up for 1 or 2 days at the end of the hearing, conscious of limited resource and personnel up in North Dakota there. Willing to give us, make a limited appearance in the matter as well. So I know that was one of the concerns when we originally brought this up was what are we going to do
next Thursday or tomorrow?
This would be the 24th.
A couple 23rd. Weeks.
Yeah.
Ryan, what if I don't show up? Are they going to arrest me or,
they should.
Yeah, they could dismiss the testimony if you're not available for cross-examination. That would probably
be possible.
They could they might do the hunt you down by telephone, try and get you there at least telephonically, which could be an option as well.
Mm. Well, I was against you guys going out there and sitting all week long, but if you're confident you can narrow it down, I don't have a feeling one way or the other, I guess. I just don't want you guys sitting there all week.
Yeah, it's it is a little expensive, and there is some concern. Brian, you and Joshua are looking at travel costs and things. We would probably drive just simply because to get in and out of Minneapolis, like $1,000 a piece. I don't know if that's oil pressure on flights or what's going on, but you can go to Denver and then Chicago and Minneapolis for $500. But but if you try to just go over there in the morning, testify, come back at night, can't do it. You can save $500, but it takes you just as long as sure. if you were driving, and then you have a car and you can leave when you're done. But so we would probably drive. Ryan's got family he can stay with. We might be able to get away with one night hotel stay. But
well, if you guys go, you fill it to the commission like always. You don't have to stay your family. That's you just. So I don't think that's the issue. Just if you.
Yep. Right. Well, I think staff made some important points in the testimony and felt strongly about enough to submit it and intervene. And so I think we should finish out and go there and be there for the hearing. And I appreciate their willingness to narrow down the commitment of time and allow you to just be there for a day. I think that's great.
And I agree with that. I think our expense has already been incurred in the effort and thought over the years, the time not only writing something but looking out the window and, mm-hmm. and coming up with
that's going to haunt me.
With good ideas. Oh, but I thought your comments were very good, and I think we should be there to defend them.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, we'll go
as cheaply as possible.
Yes.
We're looking to go down Wednesday sometime and come back whenever you're done.
Right.
Fair enough. Yeah, travel during the day, Wednesday. Don't try to leave here at 5. Safety first and all that stuff.
Right. And then I'll have a little time to prepare. And yeah, well, we may try to just come back here Thursday night.
I suppose I've never been to their PUC. Is it it's in the Capitol, or where are they at?
Oh, somewhere.
Downtown St. Paul, but they're not having it. They're having it in the state office building. I'm not sure exactly where that is, but it's probably close to where their office is, which is 7th and Roberts downtown.
Okay.
Which I find it difficult personally to navigate St. Paul because I heard it was laid out by drunken Irishmen. But
that'll be fine then. He'll understand the logic. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
No comment.
I just tried where I was going is that. There's no need to meet with their commission staff ahead of time or anything like that, is there? And you can't really probably meet to their commissioners, won't talk to you about it, so.
Well, my testimony was written without reading any of the other filings made.
Yeah.
I probably will appear without having read most of the testimony and most of the rebuttal that's already been filed. Don't have time for that. And my testimony is what I just call horse sense, common sense type stuff. I don't think it matters much what everyone else has filed, so I don't have to hear their testimony or hear the next guy's testimony. I'm coming in to say, look, you've been in the state for 105 years. You take $200 million a year out of the state. You've never felt the need to build generation in the state. You serve 4 of our largest
cities. And you promised that you build generation here. Our tax rate is lower.
Well, yeah. If they ask enough questions, we can get into that. But I suspect they won't ask me any questions, but we'll see.
Well, and the rationale for engaging in the Minnesota Commission's proceedings is that their 10-year plan, their integrated resource plan, affects us.
Absolutely.
I mean, it does. So I think that that's not something that we have done in the past or that commissions necessarily get involved in other commissions' business. But in this case, NSP is largely directed by those that Minnesota IRP, and so I think that there's rationale for doing it.
All right. Fair enough. Sounds good.
We'll go. Thank you.
All right. Let's go to anything else for discussion you guys want to add?
I have nothing else.
Julie? Okay. Scheduling for the director's meeting. Daryl, let's just do that tomorrow at the director's meeting.
That's fine. That's
when we're all there. Reschedule work session rate increase. Jerry, what do you got up your sleeve here? Why we got to reschedule?
I won't be here. Well, the 22nd, and so
we might get something done then if you're not here.
That's okay with me, but it's up to you.
All right, well.
I thought we should talk about it because Alana and Jerry are both gone.
Well, is there anything that the three of us need to talk about that we want in the rate discussion? We haven't really, nothing has really changed since the last time we met.
We were thinking just push it out a little bit further.
Right, I was just trying to see if there's anything that's changed in any of our. But the three of us can't talk without you guys.
Well, it's good to have the deadlines because it keeps the process moving and we need to come to a conclusion. So I don't want to put it out too far, but I do think it's okay. Important to have our staff advisors there and right. With him and Lalana being gone.
Get a lot done without him, Julie. Okay. Then the next week is shot. I can tell you now I'm going to Kemper and there's a formal hearing.
Jerry, where are you? Are you gone that whole week? The 22nd?
I'm back on the 25th, which is...
In the office the 25th or traveling back?
Yeah.
Does that day work? If we were to do a work session on the 25th?
It's fine by me. In the morning would be better. Randy?
Yeah,
on October 25th?
10?
Yeah, sure.
Let's move it to the 25th at 10.
Well, but Alana won't be back.
No, but at least Jerry will be.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, that was easy. I had one thing, an add-on. The aerial sprayers would like to come tell us about their business. And they'd like to come sometime in December. And they have obviously concerns about wind farms. And I expressed to them that we're not going to talk about cases, but they're going to come educate us on how the wind industry is impacting their business and what their concerns are. So I think it's a timely discussion. So,
I bet that has a huge impact on their business.
Big time. So, yeah, it's been a while since they've come in here before. They were in when I first got here. So, well. How about 19th or 20th? Those dates work for you two?
Of?
December. Way out in December.
Well, I will be gone.
Okay. How about the...
But you could still schedule it. I mean, we may not be able to find times where we're all here, so...
Well, how about the
13th? December is pretty ugly for me.
How about the 13th or the 16th?
16th would work.
Okay, Randy, does the 16th work for you?
Yeah, we'll make it work.
Let's do it in the afternoon, so they like right away at 1:30, so they can come in wherever they're doing. So December 16th at 1:30, Esther will call it aerial applicators update.
What time are they flying?
They're all flying in too. Absolutely. They said, "Don't worry, we can get out there in a hurry. You just let us know." I said, "Oh, hang on, guys." They're offering rides too, if you'd like.
Applicators update.
Okay, could we schedule that for the day of the MDU rate cases, and they can give us rides out to where we're going?
I'm sure they'd be happy to help. Okay.
It's a ride back.
Yeah. All right, anything else for scheduling, Julie? Mm-mm. Randy, for scheduling?
No.
Okay, Daryl, so if you and Esther can meet afterwards and get these schedules out right away so we can get that taken care of. This afternoon, 1:30 work session on something, pipelines.
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock?
Informal at 1 o'clock.
Okay.
And then 1:30, discussion with the four folks on 1147. It's not really a work session. It's more like a meeting. It's
at 1:30.
Discussion at 1:30. Yep.
Okay.
What did? I guess there is one more thing. What did we end up doing with tomorrow's work session?
I understand.
Does that postpone till the 22nd, or is it just a little later in the morning?
We were going to make it later. Pat, did you? Yeah, you sent that out, didn't you?
Tomorrow at 11.
Yeah, that's been changed.
You have another date scheduled on the 22nd.
Yeah, we were going to keep that, but we moved this to 11.
And the idea was, I guess, I don't know if you want to still do it, but I'm working on the draft order, and we could review what I have done so far tomorrow if you want and decide if you need Mitch to participate in the discussions. He'll be able to come on the 22nd.
Yeah, I think that tomorrow we might be able to we might not need an attorney to make a final decision on this one. That was the point. We could have a work session tomorrow and be done and just maybe vote on it the next meeting.
Except I will tell you I won't be here till 11:15.
All right.
Just get here when you get here.
Get here when we get here.
Okay.
Besides, we got two votes here. We'll move on. All right. We'll close the administrative portion of the meeting. Thank you.